Chair's report. First item is approval of the November 15th draft meeting minutes. Any suggested changes or motions?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Motion to approve, there a second?
Mr. Chairman, a second.
Have a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Next is call for nominations for the board chair and vice chair. I'd like to take I have a personal privilege since I'm the chair currently. I'd like to nominate Matt Reed as the chair.
Need a second?
Yes.
I'll second that.
A motion and a second? Okay, any discussion? Any other nominations? All those in favor of Matt Reed being our chair signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Congratulations, Matt.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, now we need a vice chair. Any nominations for vice chair?
I'd like to nominate Chief Solberg.
I'll second that. Any others? Okay, all in favor of Chief Solberg as the vice chair signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, congratulations.
Thanks.
All right. So we have the board officers and subcommittee assignments. That's in the packet, right? Oh, there it is, okay. I saw it.
Yours is just a partial.
Yeah.
So right now, for those on the phone, we've got the law enforcement subcommittee chair is Chief Solberg, the legislative chair is Matt Reed, the public awareness chair is Joe Brocious, the admin and finance subcommittee chair would be Matt Reed, is the new chair, and vertical prosecution chair is Bill Montgomery. So anybody not want to serve in those roles that were listed?
Brocious here, that since I'm just temporary until I get replaced, I probably should not chair.
Okay. So, anybody interested in doing the public awareness subcommittee chair? Robert?
Sure.
That's something you want?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, we'll have Robert Smith for that. And then the membership underneath those, obviously, this will be my final meeting and all. And Chief Alanese will be replacing me, that maybe where my name is in on underneath here, like on the law enforcement subcommittee, that would be Frank. So is that acceptable to those? Any other changes recommended?
Mr. Chair, obviously we're happy to continue serving as the chair for the vertical prosecution, but it would be Alistair Adele.
That's right, okay. So would that change? All right. Any others? You got all those in?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there a motion to make those appointments as discussed?
I'll make a motion to approve as you stated.
Okay. Second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries. We got that stuff. All right, Director McGuffin.
All right, thank you. Good morning. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I'd like to start out this morning by talking about kind of a flurry of activity we've had with board members. We've gone several years without having appointments or reappointments, and then all of a sudden, things really broke loose. So we want to welcome Robert Smith to the board. And we'd also like to welcome Chief Alanese. Hope I got that right. I've been pronouncing it wrong for a while now, but and of course, after your tenure is up, sir, then the chief will step into that position, which is appointed by ACOP. And ACOP made that selection about 6 weeks ago or so. So we're happy to have the chief on board, in particular because when he was with Casa Grande Police Department, he was a grant recipient. So he's familiar with the authority of what we do, and we just look forward to working with him and with Mr. Smith. So thank you both for your interest. Kind of continuing in that vein, we kind of went on a bit of a calling campaign with boards and commissions. We were having trouble getting boards and commissions to execute some of the board moves that we were asking for. And it's actually taken, again, several years, well before my time, that the effort started. But we got on the phone with Director Rajakovic from boards and commissions. We had several phone calls with her, talked to her about the urgency of making appointments, because obviously last May we weren't able to have a meeting. So we were running such a tight margin that if members, just about anybody was absent, then we ran the risk of not having a quorum. So on Wednesday of this week, just 2 days ago, I received a letter from boards and commissions, and we knew it was coming. We were anxiously awaiting its arrival, where they had approved additional members. So Matt Reed was reappointed to the board. Alistair Adele, because of her recent becoming the county attorney, was appointed. Kent Volkmer, the Pinal County attorney, is filling one of the county attorney positions. Brian Wright from Travelers Insurance was appointed to the board, and of course, Mr. Smith. So this will effectively seat 11 members of the board. We still have one seat that we know is coming up, and that is Mr. Brocious. His term expires about 3 days from now, and we're hoping that we can get some movement on that with the new director of boards and commissions. They just changed, so we're going to go introduce ourselves to her and see if we can get a quick appointment as another public member. And we're hoping Mr. Brocious will continue to call in until we can make that change. But having 11 members will provide the margin that we need, I believe. So that's all very good news. Moving on to some agency operations, I wanted to just again touch briefly on our consolidation efforts with the Department of Insurance and Financial Institutions. I think as you recall in previous meetings, I talked about how that process was kind of slow, but it's in full swing now. And we have multiple committees that are meeting on information technology, accounting, a working group that is providing input to a leadership group, and an engagement group. And members of this staff are engaged as committee members in most of those, all the ones certainly that I've mentioned. So that's in full swing, and it's progressing rapidly. I think November and December really saw a lot of activity, especially right around the holidays when normally things kind of settle down, but they were going strong over there, pulling people together. So we think that's going well, and just more things will be occurring in the coming months. In front of each of the board members, there is an annual report, and for fiscal year 19, and we wanted to provide the board members a hard copy. Those have been disseminated per our requirement to the governor's office, the secretary of state, to the Senate president, and the speaker of the House. We had a December 31st deadline, so we were able to get that produced and sent out. I want to acknowledge just the work of the staff in putting that together. You know, these things sometimes look fairly easy, but when you really see how that sausage is made, all the graphics, all the format, Amanda takes care of, Anne's in charge of all the narrative. It gets passed back and forth just countless times trying to make it as clean a document as we can. So I just want to thank them for that, and we hope that it is informative for the board members.
It's a great product.
Yes, it's very good.
I think we even saved some money on it. Normally we send it out to, from what I understand, send it out to Kinko's. This year, we sent it over to the DPS print shop. And while we haven't received a bill for it yet, we think we're going to save a substantial amount of money.
Just ignore the bill.
And then moving on to the holiday public awareness campaign that I've mentioned the last few meetings. Just a reminder, and for those of you who are new to the ATA, we ran a billboard campaign in Phoenix and Tucson, where we purchased either digital or static billboards in the Phoenix and Tucson area. And we spent $30,000, about $15,000 a month. And so that concluded at the end of December. And we were hoping to influence December and January, which have historically been high for vehicle break-ins and for auto theft. I'm going to kick this over to Amanda to talk about some of the analytics that because she watches those things pretty close.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Board. So I'm happy to report one of our goals for this campaign was to increase traffic to our website. Last year at this time, without a campaign, we had roughly around 4,000 hits to our website. This year, I'm happy to report we are up 55% in that same time frame, where we're reaching now 6,500. On there. So we've definitely met our goal on that, to increase traffic to our website. Our top pages that were hit were, of course, our homepage, which we have, if you haven't been on there, our top 10 most stolen vehicles, different campaigns that we have going on, our Park Smart, Watch Your Car, as well. We're up 45% on that particular page. Our VIN check page, where folks come in and check and verify VINs through the NICB link, to make sure that the car is not registered stolen, salvaged, claim, and such. One of our more surprising turnouts is that we had a 2,000% increase for this particular webpage. Last year in 2018, we had 90 hits to this page at this time. For this year, we had 1,817 hits to this page, and that was to avoid purchasing stolen vehicles. So definitely, we're getting some really good information out there to the public.
That's great.
Thank you.
Questions?
Okay. Thanks, ma'am. Now, Mr. Chairman, to conclude my report, I'd like to make a couple presentations, starting with you.
Okay.
We're going to take a picture of this, so if you wouldn't mind joining me. This. Chief Sharp's tenure on the authority's board of directors is incredible, to say the least. It is 20 years. He came on in, I think, in fall of 2000, and so he has touched 20 calendar years now with his service to the board. It goes right in line, of course, with his service to Oro Valley. When you look at all of his tenure, 21 years, I believe, with Tucson, then he becomes the chief of Oro Valley, 20 years as the chief of Oro Valley, which we were just talking about how he has artificially inflated the tenure of police chiefs now, which is generally around, what, 2 or 3 years, something 3 to 5. So he's greatly exceeded that.
You'll be next, Frank.
Pressure.
So I'm not exactly sure when I first met the chief, but where I kind of got to know the chief best was when I had the Highway Patrol Division. The chief and I often found ourselves at meetings around the country. And so it didn't matter really where I was. Anywhere in the country, I would look around and across the way would be Chief Sharp. And I'm sure that all the places that he was, when he looked across the room, he didn't always see me. And so I always marveled at that. A man with that many years in law enforcement, and he still has the passion to be involved in all of these committees and at those levels, because traveling around the country, it gets to be wearisome, and being prepared in all of these committees and that, it just takes a lot of work in addition to having to run a whole police department. So
Just kind of on a personal note, I just want to say I thank you for your passion. I thank you for being involved with the authority and with law enforcement in general. You've been really good for law enforcement during your time here. And it's sometimes said that the road to retirement is paved with plaques. And I think the chief is going to get a lot of that coming up. But we didn't want to do that to you. What we wanted to do is give you something that to send you off and to thank you for your tenure here. But if you want to put it in a drawer, you can, or let the grandkids play with it or something, you can. But we didn't want to send you away empty-handed. So we came up with a medallion, which is a larger version of our challenge coin. And we want to present this to you, Chief, and just thank you for 2 decades of work on the board.
Thank you. That's great. Thank you. All right.
Thank you, Mike. And Ms. Sherman, I don't want to steal your thunder, but I believe this will be your last meeting as well. So if you wouldn't mind joining me, we'd like to make a presentation to you as well.
Watch that cord.
Now, I don't know Ms. Sherman nearly as well as I know the chief. But in my interaction with her since I've been here, nothing but support for me and for the authority. And certainly I can say that she has represented the prosecution side of this organization very well. And we are absolutely sorry to see you go. You've been here 2 years from what our record shows, so about a tenth of the time that the chief
has
been here. So, a valuable board member. We thank you very much. We're sorry to see you go, and we hope that your next assignment is fulfilling. And so thank you very much. Chairman, that concludes my report, unless the board has any questions of
me. Any questions? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to the financial update. Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, just a couple things. First thing I'd like to do is just go through the financial report. I believe
green
we should
tab.
All have those in your...
Green.
It's the green tab in your binders. And this report is as of the end of December, December 31st. Schedule 1 is the fund balance report. The beginning balance was $4.4 million. The income as of the end of December, about almost $3.4 million. Expenditures, that would be line 3, $2.6 million. And that left us with a fund balance at the end of December of line 12 of $5,186,106. Schedule 2 just breaks down the revenue. Once again, this is through the end of December. Line 1 is the current year collection, $3.3 million. Line 8 is the investment income through the end of December, $52,000. Total income, line 11, almost $3.4 million. And line 12, what we had invested with the state treasurer as of December 31st, $5.1 million. And the current yield 1 month is 2%, and the year to date was 2.3%. And just to remind the board, we've just started another assessment cycle, so the checks and revenue are starting to come in, but I have nothing to report on that this time. By the March meeting, we'll have the numbers, and I'll let you know how we did, but just to give you a heads up that we are in another collection period. Schedule 2.1 is just the revenue analysis, basically when the money has come in. That hasn't changed since the last board meeting. Schedule 3 is a breakdown of the appropriation. Just a couple things. Line 12, the operating total, that'd be our lump sum, $319,000. And line 21 will be the grants. $2.3 million. Schedule 4 gives a little bit more in-depth breakdown, and I'll go through some of these numbers. On Schedule 4, the administrative expense through the end of December, Line 2, $196,000. Line 3, that's our program's public awareness, $122,000. And Line 5, that'd be our total lump sum, which encompasses the administrative and the program's public awareness, $319,074. The grant programs, the task force, up to the end of December had received $1.8 million. Vertical prosecution, $465,000. Professional training, $5,000. And public awareness, $7,833. Giving us total grant expenditures, Line 14, of $2.3 million, and the total expenditures, Line 15, of $2.6 million. Once again, our ratios, our administrative ratio, Line 16, administrative ratio to actual income, we're capped at 10%. We're currently at 5.79%, and the administrative expense as a measure of total expense is Line 17, 7.48%, so we're still well within our limits for the expenses. Schedules 5 through 9 just list individual areas. I won't go through those schedules line by line. The last schedule I'd like to mention will be schedule number 10. And I went over this at our last meeting, but just to refresh, this is the SIMS non-appropriated money. We started the year with about $1,200. We had a refund of $160, which left us $1,432 in the fund. And as I mentioned at the last meeting, DPS was kind enough to put in a grant for that exact amount, $1,432. And so that fund is zeroed, and hopefully we won't be seeing that again. And I know, Chief, you've been looking for that zero
really
for years.
I'm glad to see this zeroed out before I left.
Exactly. We did that in your honor there. So that fund is gone. We won't be doing that anymore, hopefully. The only other thing I have as far as the spending plan, Schedule 11, we're executing the spending plan as approved by the board at the last meeting. Through the end of December, once again, our fund balance was $5.1 million. Just remind the board anyway, in January, we did make the payments to the task force for their grant and to the verticals for their grants. So even though those don't appear on the financial reports, we made those payments in January. And then just the last item on the spending plan, in line 27 in June, we're still projected to have a fund balance of about $5.95 million at the end of the year. So we're still having a significant fund balance at the end of the year, even if we were to spend everything that we're allowed to spend. And some of that fund balance will depend on how the collection goes. But anyway, even if we don't meet our goals for the collection, we're still going to have a real significant fund balance at the end of the year. And Chief, I think probably what we've been doing is asking the board to approve the spending plan, so I can go forward with it as executed. And I have made no changes from the last time, but I'd like to get an approval if that's okay.
Yes, do we have a motion to approve the spending plan as presented?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, we have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Meyer.
Thank you. I have one other item. Two items. The next two items on the agenda are the grants. The first grant was the Quartzite grant number 1873. That grant we're going to have to move to the March meeting. They haven't got their full figures yet. They're looking to repair or replace a camera on their LPR system, and they're still looking for estimates on that. So even though that's on the agenda, we're going to go ahead and pull that from today. And Ann, did you want to fill in on any details on it?
Thanks, Art. Mr. Chair, members, there's definitely one camera out. There may be a second camera that's out, but Hilario had to have it shipped and reviewed. The first camera estimate came in at about $1,400 or something along those lines. So if there are two cameras, I anticipate it'd be less than $3,000. But we'll get some more information and as the weeks go on, and and present it at the next meeting, or potentially Director McGuffin can approve it, and then we can ratify it in March.
Since it is agendized, do I have a motion to continue it to the next meeting?
Yes, make a motion.
Second.
Motion and second, any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, let's continue to the next meeting.
And the last grant that we have, this one will be for board approval. You should have a grant memo in the...
Right behind the 8.5 by 14.
Is this the one grant? The grant agency is the El Mirage Police Department. The grant program is the Public Awareness Program. The grant number is 1875. The grant request for El Mirage was to purchase an InstaEtch fin etching system and some related equipment. The budget breakdown for their request, InstaEtch system and supplies were $1,102.50. They're also asking to purchase two A-frame signs at $225 each for a total of $450. They would like a banner at $158.80. The graphic setup was $45 and the tax is $49.31. Total grant request is $1,805.61. And I believe what they're looking for is they want a fully functional vin etching setup, and this will give them that. And did you have any, Ann, did you have anything
no,
to add
I
to that?
No, I think that's about it. That'll get them up and running. The two A-frames are basically the sandwich board signs that they can set out at their events. And I know Amanda has gone out and met with their community folks and showed them our setup. And so they're really interested in getting up and going and utilizing them.
We have the table covered.
Okay.
And
any questions about that? What's your pleasure?
And our recommendation was to fully fund the grant at $1,805.61, and that was our staff recommendation.
I'll make a motion to approve grant 1875 in the amount of $1,805.61.
I'll second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
And Mr. Chairman, if there are no questions, that concludes my financial report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Public awareness, item 5.
All right. Excuse me. Mr. Chair, members, your red tab is, well, let me go back to that. Back to the grants, the El Mirage PD and the Quartzsite PD. I mentioned that will come in at a future date. There's also possibly another public awareness grant that's going to come in from not Somerton. Is it Somerton, Amanda, that you went to? They were potentially looking at having a vin etching system of their own. So that potentially could be a March grant. We'll also be looking at the AADI conference grants, what amount that we can fund in the coming months. We'll put that information up on our website. I had targeted February 1st to put in what the conference costs are and, you know, what the ATA can fund. So typically we've done registration and hotel. Meals and travel, you know, is up to the agency to kick in. So that just covers my grant report. The red tab has a press release that we did in conjunction with the holiday billboard campaign that Jamie and Amanda have reported on. So from this press release, we got quite a bit of coverage. I know Jamie did an interview with Jason Berry from Channel 5, and I think Amanda's going to try to play that so you can see. We had a lot of activity on our website that day, and I apologize for the folks on the phone. You won't be able to see it, but hopefully if our internet's working, we can get it to play.
And it is linked on our website.
And it's linked on our website.
Pretty simple what car thieves do this time of year. They'll walk up and down a parking lot, checking for unlocked doors, looking in for valuables they can grab and go. What you need to do is not make their job so easy. Car thieves can strike day or night.
They took two GPS from my car.
Just ask Eddie Sanchez of Glendale, who recently had his car broken into in his gated community.
Yes, I get mad. I get like upset because I work really hard for my stuff, and from somebody else just take it away from me, I don't think it's fair.
Vehicle crime is a serious problem across the valley, and it's about to get worse. Year after year, the number of car break-ins and thefts goes up around the holidays.
We're still up pretty high, and we're seeing a lot of vehicle theft.
James McGuffin is executive director of the Arizona Auto Theft Authority. He says one of the reasons they see such a spike in incidents is because drivers aren't taking enough precautions. Just locking your vehicle's door, not forgetting the keys inside, and not leaving valuables in plain sight can dramatically reduce the chances of you becoming a victim.
The first target, of course, is what's inside the vehicle that can be stolen easily. And if they happen to come across a key fob in there or the actual key itself, then at that point the vehicle often gets stolen.
In an effort to encourage Arizonans to protect their vehicles and what's in it, the Arizona Auto Theft Authority has just launched a new holiday campaign called Lock It or Lose It. A number of billboards have been placed around the valley and across the state, reminding motorists to take some simple steps to avoid becoming a victim.
Vehicle thieves are looking for opportunities to steal either the contents of a vehicle or the vehicle itself. And this time of year, there's so many vehicles out there, there's so much activity, things can go unnoticed.
Now, in case you're wondering what the easiest vehicle to steal is, well, it's the one that's still running with the keys or key fob inside. It's not rocket science. If you want to reduce the risk of you becoming a victim around the holidays, just take a couple of simple precautions, and chances are those crooks will leave you alone. Reporting in Phoenix, Jason Murray for Arizona's Family.
So that was a nice long story, and that ran, you know, Channel 3 and 5 have both stations now, and that ran on the 5 o'clock, the 6 o'clock, the 10 o'clock, so we got some really great coverage out of that, and so thank you, Director McGuffin. The next item I want to update is the Gilbert PD grant project. As you know, last meeting you all approved a grant for $6,600 for their AZ Family over-the-top marketing campaign, as well as develop a PSA, a 15-second and a 30-second PSA that could run, in addition to streaming on your phones, will also run on Channel 3 and 5. So we're going to demo those for you. And then I have some good news to share about what kind of free coverage we've gotten.
It only takes 6 seconds for the bad guys to make you a victim. Never leave anything inside your car and always lock it.
That's a 15.
If the bad guys can see it, they're gonna steal it.
Aren't you going to leave all this nice stuff in your car?
No.
Do you mind if I steal it?
Well, do I leave my car unlocked?
Yeah.
Well, duh. Leaving your car unlocked is the same thing as handing your valuables over to the bad guy. Protect your stuff. Lock your car and always take everything with you. Most importantly, never leave your keys in the car.
So, Gilbert PD, the folks over there did a really great job. It was coming up against the holidays and a fast deadline, but they were able to get those produced. Channel 3 did all the filming and the editing, so they were really great to work with. They were able to put us in for about December 31st and the 30th. They were able to add in, unless they got bumped for paid spots, they were able to add in 32 30-second spots during that time frame. The week that we're currently in, they have 25 spots that are airing this week during various times on 3 and 5. So I think we're going to get a lot of bang for our buck with that very small investment with Gilbert PD. They also have some other aspects of their campaign that they're doing, which we reported on when the grant came through, but they're doing some incentives with neighborhoods and communities, reminding them to keep their vehicles locked and rewarding folks that do have their vehicles secured and all vehicles out with oil changes and gift cards and things like that. So we're excited. I'll continue to report on that, but we appreciate the work with Chief, with your folks, and I think it's going to be a great campaign.
Thanks.
We asked, KTAR called yesterday, and Jamie did an interview with them that should air, so I'll forward those along as I get them. I mentioned the AADI conference. There's a flyer on top of your packet, so any new folks or new agencies that want to send folks, I'll also put the additional flyers. We've got some on the table over there. So, and the Auto Theft Authority will support that. Agents will support that conference. I know Director McGuffin will probably be there for opening ceremonies, and staff is available to assist during that week. So we look forward to that. Right. And that concludes my report.
Any questions, comments for Ann? Thanks, Ann. All right. Now we have our subcommittee reports. Law enforcement subcommittee.
Nothing to report.
Nothing to report. Public awareness, Mr. Brocious.
No report.
No report. Thanks, Ann. Okay. Legislative report, Matt.
Nothing to report. We know that the legislative session is just beginning, so we'll be keeping an eye on those items that are being presented for the legislation.
All right, thank you. Vertical prosecutor's report.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, good morning. I believe I heard that we have Mojave County on the phone.
And La Paz.
Yes. Is it Mojave County still on the phone?
Yes.
Do you have anything that you'd like to report?
Thanks. Matt Smith, Mojave County attorney, filling in for Jake Chavez, who is our vertical prosecutor. Just quickly, Jake is the full-time vertical prosecutor. This is the only thing he does, is prosecute these type of cases. Over the last 6 months, he has charged 80 cases involving auto theft, has only declined 10. He has 78 open vehicle theft cases. Over the last 6 months, he's obtained 69 convictions with an average rate of 2 years in prison and a little over 3 years probation, and $557,000 in restitution ordered at this time. And that's all I have to report.
All right, thank you so much. And then Mr. Rogers.
Thank you.
Mr. Rogers from La Paz County, are you still there?
Mr. Rogers had to step out. This is Yvette, the office administrator.
Hi, Yvette.
I have a little case here. A victim reported a vehicle stolen from her property with miscellaneous stereo items inside. She did leave the keys in the car, and it was unlocked. She reported it stolen. The vehicle was later located at the Blue Water Resort and Casino. The stereo items had been removed. The Colorado River Indian Tribe Police Department investigator took fingerprints and contacted the casino surveillance and got video of two male subjects leaving the vehicle in question of entering the casino. The casino security was able to identify one of the subjects from his player's club card number and determined that he was gaming on the casino floor at the time. Both subjects were detained for questioning. One of the subjects indicated that he was walking into town and the suspect picked him up to give him a ride in the stolen vehicle, and that he was not aware that the vehicle was stolen. The defendant claimed he didn't steal the vehicle. However, later he told the police where the keys were located, and between the video surveillance fingerprints and the defendant's own admission, he entered into a plea to attempted unlawful use of means of transportation and was sentenced to 2.5 years DOC with restitution of $950 for the stolen stereo equipment. He was a repeat offender for auto theft and had served time at DOC before. And that's all I have.
All right, thank you so much. And that's it on the phone, yeah.
I believe so. Unless I thought I just heard the phone click. Unless
any other vertical prosecutors on the phone.
Hi there. This is Matt Ashton from Pima County. I think I called in a little bit late.
Yeah.
But I just took over the position from Ryan Gantt. My first time on one of these calls. But we just had a case. A guy named Michael Montano, and he stole about 5 cars over the course of just a couple weeks. It was really quite the spree. But the Tucson Police Department did a great job investigating it in the first place, and they found a couple of the cars, and then later the task force down here got involved and they started doing some surveillance. They had organized the SWAT takedown, and my predecessor, Ryan Gant, was actually doing a ride-along, and they were sitting there in the SWAT car, and right as they're sitting there, the same guy goes up to another stolen car. He pulls up in a stolen car to a new stolen car, and he's trying to take the stolen car. Sorry, somebody trying to?
Nope, you're good.
And he's trying to steal that car right next to them while the SWAT vehicle's there. So we just had that case bleed 6.5 and up, so.
Great. All right, thank you so much, Matt. Welcome. So for Maricopa, Misty was not able to be here, nor was Valerie, but Misty sent me a few cases that I could report on. She had one defendant named Robert Morales, and that was a DPS task force case with Detective Callister, and he was sentenced to 9 years in the Department of Corrections. He pled guilty to 3 theft of means cases. He and his co-defendant burglarized a house. They stole a 2019 BMW from the garage. And then when they did a search warrant at his residence, they recovered 2 additional stolen vehicles. And he did have an extensive criminal history, which did include residential burglaries. She had another case, Jennifer Noyes. That was also DPS task force with Detective Johnson. She was sentenced to 3.5 years in the Department of Corrections, followed by 4 years of supervised probation, and pled to some residential burglary and theft of means charges. She did not have criminal history, but she had 4 open cases. Only the one was task force case, but they all involved a similar MO. So she would burglarize an attached garage and then steal the cars with the keys from the garages. And the last case she sent me was Richard Diaz, also DPS task force case with Detective Moore. And he was sentenced to 6.5 years in the Department of Corrections for theft of means. He was driving a stolen Yukon, and then while being watched by the task force during surveillance, he committed several vehicle burglaries as well. And he had criminal history as well. So as Director McGuffin mentioned, this is probably my last meeting. We have had, as you heard, we have a new county attorney, Alistair Adell, and as part of being a new county attorney, she had a team in that was assessing how things were working and what changes they might want to make. So one of the changes that they're making is they're transitioning the auto theft cases back over to trial division. Our bureau, our auto theft bureau, is dissolving. We still will have our 2 task force attorneys that will continue in their same role, just under new supervision. And then the remainder of the auto theft cases that are not task force cases, we have 8 bureaus in trial division that are assigned geographically. So the cases will just be assigned to whatever geographic bureaus the crime occurs in. So I'm going to a new position since I had no one left to supervise. So I'm going to a different position. I'll be supervising new attorneys over in our justice courts. But I'm not sure yet who will be acting as the proxy at future meetings, but we're gonna probably determine that sometime next week. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I did tell them I would be happy to continue attending the board meetings, even though I'm not over any auto theft cases. So I do thank you all for your kindness and your welcoming to me for the past 2 years.
Thank you for all your contributions.
Thank you. I told Amanda and Director McGovern I might come sit in the shack and just watch you guys.
I know.
So, thank you. I don't have any
parents. All right, our auto theft task force, Captain Entner.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, good morning. My name is Paul Entner. I'm a state trooper and a captain with the Arizona Department of Public Safety. I'm the task force commander. I want to start off with a couple things in regards to personnel issues. We were able to bring back Detective William Pop onto the task force for Pima County, which added some additional manpower down there. We're going to be losing Detective Callister to retirement. He has served the Department of Public Safety for the last 17 years, the last four of which have been with the task force. He has prior service with the Shoal Police Department, and he has accepted a position in the private sector, which is very good for him, and he's going to be doing well there. Mr. Bobby Owens, he is going to be retiring from the NICB. He's had 24 years on with DPS before he retired in 97, and then he stayed on as a reserve with the task force since then. What's great about it, we're going to miss him in regards to his access to NICB and his skill sets, but he's still going to stay on as a reserve with the task force, and he's going to be working with Barrett Jackson. We've lost Ms. Kelly Erickson, who was our criminal analyst, and she accepted a position with the ACTIC, so right now that position is vacant. And then right now we've had two detectives who are out on injuries that are doing the rehab, and hopefully they should be back soon, but it's just they're having to go through rehab. And as a result, last year we lost probably actually a little more than 53 weeks of work time due to our injuries and the loss of our personnel. Since November 15th, since our last meeting, we recovered 170 stolen vehicles. Now our activity is down overall, and that's for a number of different reasons. We had training that we ended up having to take, our loss of personnel due to injuries, and as well as the holidays. We recovered $2.28 million in asset value, served 6 search warrants, and recovered 9 weapons. And since last calendar year, we recovered 1,482 stolen vehicles, which is really, I'm sorry, that's incorrect, 1,632 vehicles, which is, if you think about our loss of people for those 53 weeks, is really only 13 less. And they're still motivated, and it's a testament to what they are doing out there. Our estimated vehicle recovery value, though, has gone up to over $23 million this last calendar year, which is over $5 million from the previous year, about 28% increase. Some of that has to do with we're not necessarily focusing on the cheap Honda Accords that are out there or Honda Civics that are the easy ones to sell, but we have investigating a larger high-end vehicles and recovering the high-end vehicles. For example, in June, we ended up recovering two Aston Martin DB11s, which are estimated a value of about $240,000. Several Teslas and other high-end vehicles that we've been recovering. Our overall, from last year, our number of arrests have gone down to 316, and some of that is just due to the loss of our personnel. Some of the significant events that we've had, and I'm going to talk about three and then talk about one that we're currently working on right now. December 16th, the Phoenix detectives located a 2003 Chevy diesel truck in Maryville. This truck was involved in a hit and run, also involved in a road rage incident that involved a shooting, and then the Peoria Police Department was involved in a pursuit with them. And with the assistance of a DPS SWAT, our fugitive detectives, the Glendale Police Department, and a Goodyear canine, we were able to basically take down, locate and take down these individuals. There were three juveniles that were involved. We immediately arrested one and took him into custody at the vehicle. Two other people fled the scene, and we were later located and apprehended and taken into custody in a backyard of a nearby residence. One of the juveniles ended up suffering a canine bite. In January 7th, our Pima detectives located a 2007 Land Rover with the help of LoJack. The day before, that vehicle was involved in a pursuit with Tucson PD. Unbeknownst to the officer who tried to make a traffic stop, that vehicle had not been reported stolen. That vehicle was taken from a residential burglary where the occupants were out of town and were unaware that their vehicle was stolen. We were able to locate that vehicle, follow the vehicle, and with the assistance of the Tucson Police Department SWAT, As we're conducting the surveillance, another vehicle joined up with them in tandem and started heading south towards the border. We ended up stopping both vehicles, taking four people into custody. We found some evidence to support a search warrant where we did a search warrant in the apartment, took those four people into custody and found fraudulent documents, fraudulent titles, fraudulent IDs. And then on January 8th, our Pima detectives in Tucson located a stolen Volvo S60 sedan out of, which was stolen out of California. It was, they found it at a local apartment complex there. And then when they took the people into custody with the help of the Tucson Canine Program and Pima County Aviation, they were able to find evidence of other burglaries that this individual was involved in the Tucson area, submitted a search warrant and recovered additional property from those additional burglaries that they conducted in the Tucson area. The suspect ended up confessing to the burglaries as well as stealing the vehicle out of California. The other items that we're working on right now is one is particularly of severe importance to the task force, is that we are working an investigation with the FBI, Maricopa County, not Maricopa County, Maricopa Police Department. In this last year, they've had 49 stolen vehicles out of the city of Maricopa. 19 of those vehicles ended up on the Gila River Reservation. We have identified a suspect involved in the majority of those cases. And the problem is that as a state agency, Maricopa Police Department, we do not have legal jurisdiction on Indians in Indian Country. The suspect is an enrolled member of the tribe. He resides on the community, which makes it very problematic for us. I'm also the tribal liaison, and I've been working with the tribes here to establish those agreements for mutual aid cross-commissioning and the SLAC, which is Special Law Enforcement Commission through the BIA. We haven't had that yet, but we have, it's problematic because when the suspect steals the vehicle, ends up on a reservation, we don't have legal jurisdiction unless to apprehend him and take him off the reservation, unless it is in fresh and hot pursuit. We have located him. This individual has also run from the tribal police on numerous occasions, at least four times this since January 1st. We've searched, we've located him one time at a complex of houses. We were able to assist Gila River in locking that down, and Gila River served a search warrant. They weren't able to find him, but the FBI has also stepped in and has taken over, has two cases on this individual already. They have also, the FBI has announced yesterday from the headquarters that they have offered a $2,000 reward for information leading to his arrest. There are several places that we are locating, are watching and surveilling in the Phoenix area that he has ties to. But at this point, it's very difficult for us to locate an individual that doesn't want to be located. And right now he's been laying very low, and he has strong ties to the community, which is not helping as well. So, and that's what we've been tasked with, and that's our priority right now.
Yeah. Extended an invitation to Gila River to join the task force.
They do, actually, they do have an individual detective that works their auto theft cases. They do want to join the task force, but absence of the original MOU granting us that authority and giving us that protection from tribal as well as for the federal tort protection, we can't do anything yet. And they're aware of that.
That's good, that's positive.
It's a very positive, and we'd like to bring them on. One of the concerns, though, is that we, with the budget issues, I'm not sure how we can put another person on the task force, since especially when we've released people from the task force from our last year's budget.
Well, I think there's an opportunity there when we talk to legislators about the fact that that's a void that we have as a result of this appropriations issue that we have, and I think that that's another angle to go at. You know, if we can bring the tribal police more engaged, I think that makes it harder to say no.
We've assisted the tribal police on a technical aspect, and like I said, we don't have any law enforcement jurisdiction, so we can point out at a search warrant, this is items of evidence, this is items of evidence, this is how you may want to award your search warrant. But that's all we can do. We cannot go in there operationally. There are several other individuals, as we have been working this case since November, and a little bit more of a background on this individual. In October 30th, this individual goes into Maricopa, goes onto a high school, and basically carjacks and steals a vehicle off the school grounds. When the three students approached him, one of them was the owner, he basically points a weapon at him and takes off. They identified this person through a photo lineup and positively identified him. The next day, Pinal County was involved in a pursuit from Casa Grande onto the reservation, where they were able to apprehend the driver. The driver was the younger brother of the individual. And they are both known to have, basically their MO is to steal vehicles. And they were able to identify, and the brother did say that his brother did, the suspect did take the vehicle and he was just driving it that night. So that's how this whole thing, and he's also implicated in another stolen vehicle in January of last year, where the vehicle was stolen from a parking lot at Walmart in Maricopa. The owners left the keys on in the vehicle with their child sleeping in the back. They went in and did their shopping. The suspect got into the vehicle with the keys in the vehicle, started taking off. Noticed the child was an autistic 12-year-old child in the back. Pop his head up, he forcibly removes him from the vehicle, and it takes off. That vehicle was later found about an hour and a half later, just inside the Gila River Indian Reservation. Mm. So this is definitely public enemy number one. However, there are other cases that are being developed that are out of the Chandler, Phoenix, Maricopa County, as well as Queen Creek and the Gilbert areas that are possibly linked to him, as well as other people working separately from him. So hopefully that will we can get those agreements in place, and then also if there is funding, we can bring that person on the task force. That would be great. The other issue is just, it comes back down to, do we have the funding to provide to him? Another concern of ours is our budget for this coming year. Our people are very nervous because we had to release people from the task force. They are concerned that hopefully with there is talk that, you know, there's possible pay raise that may be going forward for DPS employees. Last year we had a 10% pay raise. The funding was not, did not accommodate that pay raise, and that budget for the last 4 years have remained stagnant at $3.65 million. So it's definitely problematic for us. And the guys, the detectives are highly motivated. They're still out there going after these vehicles. They're looking for them. And it's evident in regards to the number of vehicles they recovered last year with fewer people and less work time. So that's our concern in regards to the budget coming up for this year. Chief, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
We're going to miss you. Ms. Sherman? It's been great. I know we've had some talks on the side, and thank you for your guidance and helping us out with the task force.
Thank you.
Do you have any questions?
Any questions? Comments?
Comments?
Captain, I just want to say how much I think this board really appreciates your efforts and the efforts of the task force. We know it hasn't been ideal conditions and that sort of thing, but you pass on our thanks for what they continue to do and their efforts. It's on behalf of the state of Arizona, that's very important what you guys do.
Thank you.
Next item is call to the public. Before I read this, do we have anybody that wants to address us? We don't have a whole lot of public here, so anyway, all right. Seeing none, item 12, reports on current events, matters, and board procedure requests, and items for future agenda. Any member of the board or anybody on the phone for this? No, there's
Chief Sharp, Joe Brocious.
Go ahead, Joe.
I think you lost me. I got lost at some point. For my committee, I have nothing to report. So,
Okay, and was your proxy on that? She said you had nothing to report.
Wonderful, thank you.
Thanks, Joe. So, one thing, I have a question. Amanda, when people call in and they're directed to check VIMS for stolen, do we have a link there with NHTSA or like Check to Protect on recalls?
Not on recalls. We refer them right now to the NICB VIN check.
Okay.
But we do give information on those services also being available.
Okay. I just wonder if, we now, talking to folks, I think we have a record number of recalls in this country. Mm. A lot of unsafe vehicles out there. Mm. And if people already have a VIN and they're there checking, if we could maybe put a link there. I know Check to Protect is something, and I've been working with the National Ad Council on that, and the National Safety Council, and trying to drive people to that check. So, but that might be a nice link to have that if they already got a VIN in hand. And then the final thing that I want to say is this has been a great association for me, being part of this authority. When I was appointed, Arizona was number one, Phoenix Mesa was number one. We had some strategies in place that we put into place and got those numbers down. They continue to be down. They keep climbing up. I think we need to have that commitment. But I've worked with, I think you're our sixth executive director since I've been here. It's been rewarding for me, and being able to serve the citizens of Arizona to be able to do that. I appreciate all the hard work of staff and the hard work of all the members of the board, past and present. So I just wish you all the best of luck. And I'm getting promoted to citizen. So I may come to call to the public or something like that. Anyway, date, time, location of the next meeting is March 20th, right here at 10 a.m. And I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No.
We are adjourned. Thank you all very much.
Enjoy your time.
Thank you, too.